not top 10.
Hey, can you see around the from our studio? You see that big blue shark there?
There is a shark over there. Yeah, what's that shark all about?
So we were under a shark attack earlier today. There's a big robotic floating shark that's remotely controlled, and our guys in the IT, and it's in the IT department, which big surprise there, right? So they send this thing. They were floating this thing over, and what's that distance? Maybe about 50 feet from here to there? What would you say, Nathan?
I'm going to call that 17 yards, 51 feet.
So from 51 feet. 51, not 50. That thing came floating over and was attacking our you know, we call it the dog bowl, but it's also a fish bowl because of the glass, and it was terrifying.
I took some pictures. We need a blow dart in here to defend ourselves because we are exposed.
We're really exposed.
And if this shark wants to float over here.
You know, a week ago it was paint the town browns and we had all this feeling and love. And this week we're under shark attack. It's like how much changes in a week.
The sky is falling, and I don't like it.
Cleveland Browns.
I mean, why are the Browns even let's be honest for a second. Why are the Browns even going to Baltimore? Joe Flacco's the greatest quarterback who ever lived. I mean, they should just save the wear and tear on their bodies and just stay here.
Are you talking about Hall of Famer Joe Flacco?
Yeah, please. Oh, my goodness.
I don't know.
The Hall of Fame is for those who are truly great. Not those who are pretty good and lucked in a good situation.
And he clearly isn't a good fantasy quarterback. That's the big argument.
I don't care about fantasy quarterback. Look at where his QBR is compared to the other quarterbacks.
All right, let's not get on that tangent again. Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.
Sometimes he looks like he falls asleep. Doug Deacon, Jim Donovan said that. The boys around there, like, and he plays like it sometimes.
Sometimes Doug Deacon looks like he falls asleep.
Well, that's because he's got the beer truck.
Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Vic Carucci, Nathan Zagura. We're going to have... a conversation in about maybe 10 minutes or so. Jameer Howardson's going to talk with Quentin Groves, a little sit-down inside the locker room with him. So looking forward to that. But looking forward to your calls, 216-578-0850, 216-578-0850. A call your shot Friday. And also tweet us, at Browns_daily. Chuck and Warren with us now. Hey, Chuck.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I just wanted to give you a little tidbit to chew on here. The Ravens are going to be hanging their second Super Bowl banner up on their stadium, giving out their rings, and they're going to do it so that all the Browns fans get to watch. If that's not motivation for this team to smack these guys around and say, that's for the city of Cleveland, I don't know what can get these guys motivated.
I don't think there's any question about the fact that these guys are motivated, but yes, I think there are a multitude of reasons why they're going to be motivated in this game. I don't think they will lose this game if they do lose because... there was a lack of motivation. I think that the effort is going to be there. The motivation is going to be there. It's going to be a matter of execution for the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah, it will be, and motivation should be high and strong. It should matter. What Chuck just said should matter.
It should.
Because the best way to spoil that party is to play the game that makes them the team that now is 0-2, the team that now has a lot of doubt that was already there from the horrible start they had against Denver, and just build upon that. You know, just play on their doubts and fears. And you should have more doubts if you're the Ravens than the Browns. The expectations, we're talking worlds of difference.
Vastly different.
Vastly different.
Yes.
And if the Browns are able to go in there and play well and win, that's the upset. You know, that's the thing no one's expecting. But if the Ravens falter, and if they win and they struggle to win, they're going to be in for some serious second guessing. I mean, I believe that. So
absolutely. They have more pressure on them than the Browns in this game.
Yep.
No
Chris,
doubt.
Chris on a cell, call your shot Friday. Hey, Chris.
Can you hear me all right?
I hear you loud and clear, brother.
Hey, I don't know where you guys are coming from, okay? The Browns are going to be the pinata for the party. This team has shown nothing. There's no urgency from this ownership, coaching, playbook. Last week was an embarrassment, okay? A complete embarrassment. A team not ready to play in the NFL. And I can't believe you would think they would come into Baltimore and even compete in that game.
Well, neither one of us is saying they're going there to win. We're trying to create a path to victory, but we're not sitting here trying to sell you that they did well last week. Of course, last week was an embarrassment. Last week was horrendous. And what any part of this show, if you've listened, you know, gave you a contrary feeling to that? None. I mean, we've been pretty honest and forthright about what it is.
So.
We're talking about what you want other scenarios. they actually play the game. That is going to happen. So short of that, I mean, if you've got it all figured out, Chris, and you're not going to watch it or pay attention to it because you've already put it away, we don't have that luxury. We're here every day, 5 days a week, to talk with you about this team. We're going to have some level of conversation about it. And if the conversation – and the conversation is driven by how the team does or doesn't do. And right now it didn't do last week. So we're talking about what maybe could happen. But we are not giving you a, yeah, this is going to happen. The going to happen that I have is Ravens win, possibly very big, by the way. That's the way I see this going down. All right, let's go. Gee, you know, people annoy you.
A path to victory is not a guaranteed victory. I'm just outlining a scenario in which the Browns could stay competitive.
You got to put all these qualifiers in there so people understand. Gino on a sell. Gino, give me something good.
Hey, how you guys doing, huh?
Good. How are you?
Hey, I'm hanging in there, you know?
Good.
Hey, if I'm wondering here, if the right side of the offensive line is weak and the left side is a strong line, why not roll this Kamoch Whedon out to the left a little bit or get him to move here? Get him away from the weak side, you know?
Well, you've seen him play. He doesn't move all that well.
Yeah,
now that's
right.
I mean, you got to get some movement from the guy. You got to have the ability to be mobile, Nathan. And
yes,
I think you work within the. I'm not saying he can't give you some level of what sliding, gliding. You know, he might be able to do that. But you're not looking at this guy to be a runner. I think his footwork in general has been a topic. We know it's been a topic of discussion, and coaching points have been made about it, mostly from the standpoint of accuracy. Guy doesn't do a lot of moving in the pocket, and never. I don't know that he ever has.
Agreed. I think you're going to see this team try to utilize some more effective chipping. I know they tried to chip a couple of times, but there was some interesting dancing we saw from Gary Barnage on one play that I don't know exactly what was happening there, but I think they're going to try to help out.
It's a chipped tooth.
Try to help out. I think that, you know, the running backs, what I'd like to see sometimes is maybe, you know, two receivers, two running backs in the backfield, Cameron in the flexed out at the tight end spot. And then you move a back out of the backfield and keep Obanaya in to be the blocker on that right side. So basically you're going to end up with four guys in the route, but you're going to have a blocker, and you'll be able to kind of disguise who's going where and when.
To Gino on a sell. Hey, Gino. Oh, I'm sorry. That was Gino with the skamooch. I forgot. Brad in the truck is what I'm looking for now. Brad, what's
gentlemen,
up?
Gentlemen. Real quick, and this is going to be coming out of, sorry for the baseball analogy, left field. If the Browns can hire Jim Brown as a consultant, why can't they hire Bernie as a consultant? He's more relevant. He's played in these rivalry games. Everybody raves about his ability to diagnose or what's wrong with people, but yet they never seem to tap his knowledge base. And that's end of my comment.
All right, Brad, it's a fair point. And I've heard this discussion before. I've been part of these discussions before about, you know, what role to have Bernie besides the great roles that he plays from a media standpoint, being part of the broadcast team, doing such a superb job with Jim Donovan. I'm talking about the preseason TV broadcasts, and being part of this, being a regular on this show for all 3 years that we've been on the air. And he's been phenomenal with that. Yeah, he's consulted before. I mean, they've utilized him in that role before during the Eric Mangini era. Randy Lerner brought him in to do that. I mean, different group of people running a team, different ideas on how to run it and who has a say in it and what they want that person to, you know, what, bless you, Nathan.
Thank
you.
What
they want that person to do and be. And at this point, I don't see a proclivity among the people running this team to say, yeah, we want to have Bernie do more than what he's contributing. At the same time, you know, recognizing, use the word relevant, recognizing his prominence and connection to this club, you find a way to make him a part of it, at least from the standpoint of sharing knowledge to the fan base. But there's no simple answer that says, because people see that as kind of a magic pill thing. Like, well, if you have Bernie come in, and again, I talk with him all the time. I respect his knowledge level. I know what he knows. I know what he can give you. I know what he knows. I know what he's offering, I should say. But I'd say to you that it doesn't necessarily translate to others to say, you know what, That's what we need. We just have to have Bernie helping us make our calls here. I think there's more than satisfied with Joe Banner, Michael Lombardi, those who are running things to do their thing along with Ray Farmer and other people on the personnel side.
And they need the players to make the plays on the field, and Bernie, his time on the field is no longer here. So I think he certainly can help. I think he's got some he's very smart, and we get people on Twitter right now. Even in one Bernie up there helping read the offense. I think helping read the defense and getting information down to the coaches. I think the people that are employed on this staff know what they're doing. I think Norv Turner knows what he's doing as an offensive coordinator. Obviously, if there is a role that where Bernie could help, I think people would be open to that. I can't speak for the organization or not, but obviously, you know, they're trying to win here. They're trying to build a winner, and anything and any resource they have to do that, they will utilize. And I certainly think Bernie's being utilized. I love when he's on this show. I think his insights are phenomenal. I love what he did in the preseason. And if there's more for Bernie to do, hopefully he gets to do that, because I think his football mind is phenomenally sharp.
You know, I don't see that happening anytime soon. I don't want to create a false hope for anyone, but I'm with you on that. If you ever felt that was if those who run things ever felt differently about it, he's here. They know where he lives. They know how to get in touch with him. I mean, that's the bottom line with that. All right, we've got a conversation coming up with Quentin Groves. Our own Jameer Howerton sits down with him. So we'll hear what he said. He's really emerged into a leader on this football team. You could sense that.
I liked him from day one when he came in here and he said, I'm going to bring an attitude and an edge they were not supposed to be hitting. And he drilled Josh Cooper and knocked him 5 or 6 yards out of bounds. And nobody really said anything. It was kind of like, whoa. And he's brought it on special teams.
He got a little tacit. Ray Horton kind of gave him the old, you know.
Yeah, let's relax. But listen, he's delivered. Every time he's had an opportunity, he's gotten a sack. Week one, he's great on special teams. I love the swagger that Quentin Groves brings to this team. That is a guy who has that attitude that you and I discuss from time to time off the air.
That's the attitude we have right here with this show. It is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. A Call Your Shot Friday. More coming up on ESPN 850 WKNR.